Welcome to the Sermon Podcast of Christian author and speaker, Troy Black. We're praying that, as you listen, God will reveal His love, grace, and truth to you in a deeper way. After listening, don't forget to connect with Troy on YouTube and Facebook. May this message from Troy inspire you in your walk with Christ.
Hey everyone. So I want to tell you a story today, and it's kind of an embarrassing story. It's kind of a very personal story, but I feel like the Lord wants me to share this with you because I believe there's a lot of people watching this that are going through similar things to what I've been through at one point in my life. So to tell this story correctly, I have to go back to when I was a child, and some of you may already know this, but if you don't, I'm going to go ahead and share it. So When I was young, I was raised in a Christian home. My parents took us to church, and my mom read us the Bible. You know, at home, I was homeschooled for a little while, and then I went to a private Christian school. Throughout all of these years of these Christian teachings that I experienced, I noticed one thing in particular very strongly that overarched everything, and that was that there was a standard, that God had a standard, and on top of that, people had a standard too. And so there was this part of me, this part of my personality that loved rules and loved following the rules. And so I grabbed onto the standard as much as I could. And I actually began to set my own rules on top of the standard, right? And because of this, I quickly turned into what I would call a very judgmental person. I mean, on a normal day, I would walk around, look at other people, see how they were living life, what they were doing, and I would compare that to the way that I was doing things. And in my mind, I would, you know, I wouldn't say it out loud, but in my mind, I would say, oh, I'm better than them. And because of that, God is going to bless me, or because of that, God loves me. And this continued. I didn't see how much of a downward spiral this was, but it continued for years and years until I got to the point in high school where many of you know now that I'm married, and me and my wife, Leslie, we have three little kids, but I actually met Leslie in high school for the first time when I was in ninth grade, moving to a new school. And I immediately had a crush on her, and I think she liked me back at the time. But what ended up happening was we kind of liked each other for a while, and eventually she told me she didn't like me anymore. You know, she didn't want to date me or anything like that. And so I felt at that point that my heart had been crushed, right? Because that was the first real, crush that I had growing up. And so in my mind, I was like, God let me down. God let me down. This was what I wanted with my life. I was already like envisioning us getting out of high school, getting married, you know, and starting a life together. And it was washed away right in front of my eyes. And so in my heart, I began to allow this bitterness toward God, and especially toward women in general, to start to grow. And it just grew and it grew and it grew. And outwardly, I wouldn't admit it. And outwardly, I wouldn't say it. And especially, you know, I would still pray to God and things like that, but I would not admit it to God or even begin to admit it to Him. Because, you know, because I had this standard in my mind. And I liked, at the time, I liked to call it the fear of the Lord, you know, because that's a phrase that you see a lot in Scripture. And so that's what I thought I had. I thought I had the fear of the Lord, and it was making me better than everybody else. And I actually took that bitterness in my heart with me when I left high school without realizing it. And I went straight into college, and in college, suddenly all these rules, you know, my parents, they were pretty strict about a lot of things. And they had all these rules, you know, set in place in our house, like when we had to go to bed, you know, what kind of foods we could eat, all these different things, you know, that we had to do our homework. And yet when I got to college, I found, and I was out of state, I found that all those rules suddenly didn't apply anymore, you know, except from a distance. And so I felt like I had discovered this amazing world of freedom. And when I got there, I started thinking, oh, how free can life be, right? Like I started thinking, I'm gonna do everything I was not allowed to do before. I began to stay up as late as possible. You know, some nights I wouldn't sleep at all. I began to watch things that my parents told me I shouldn't watch, you know, things that they wouldn't have allowed me to watch. In their house, I began to eat like junk food galore. Like I would eat the same junk food for breakfast, lunch, and dinner, and I wouldn't eat anything healthy in between. And some of those things aren't that bad, you know, like they weren't terrible things that I was doing, but overall in my life, I was throwing off this weight of this standard that I had lived underneath. And what I didn't realize was not only was I throwing off this standard that I had had in my home life, but I was throwing off this standard that was in my heart. And it was a bad thing, but it was a good thing too, because yeah, I started getting into a lot of things I shouldn't have gotten into. I started doing a lot of things I shouldn't have been doing. But at the same time, the standard that I had lived with for a long time and allowed myself to believe was right was really a self-righteous standard, and I just couldn't see it. And so, to make a long story short, I started getting into a lot of things that I had told myself I'd never get into, and I actually started to treat women incredibly bad. So I would go from like liking one girl to liking another girl the next day, and I would treat every woman that I met like terribly, especially if I liked them. And I hate to say this, but in my mind at that time, I viewed them like party favors, which is a terribly degrading, horrible way to view women. But I did, because I had this bitterness in my heart and I couldn't get rid of it no matter what I did and no matter how much freedom I thought I found. I couldn't get rid of that bitterness toward women in general, toward Leslie, who I had known in high school, and especially toward God, because I felt like He let me down. And so even though I felt like I had all this freedom, what I started to realize was it wasn't enough. It just wouldn't satisfy me. The more things that I got into, the more that my flesh desired to get into more things, right? Like the more it was like, this is not doing it for me anymore. And so one night, eventually, I started to look at pornography. And the difference there was, pornography was in my mind growing up, I had these two camps, right? This one camp was all the things that I might do if I messed up one time, you know, and God could forgive me of. And then I had this other like camp over here that was like all the things that I'll never do because I'm such a righteous person, I'm so great, you know, and God loves me so much, and I'll never do these things, you know, and pornography was in that camp over there. And so when I started watching pornography, I just could not believe, and I almost could not even admit that I was doing it. And immediately I started telling myself, it's just a one-time slip up, you know, like it's not something that's gonna keep happening. Like everybody makes mistakes, right? I tried to console myself and make myself feel better about it. And yet what happened was it just continued on and on and on and got worse and worse and worse until it had developed into this habit that was destroying my life. It was destroying my self-image. It was destroying the way that I saw other people. It was destroying my hopes for the future. It was destroying so many things, and especially was destroying my joy and my peace. The satisfaction in life that I felt like I had had at one point, I no longer had at all. And the crazy thing was, I didn't even have that when I was watching pornography either. It didn't give me any of that joy or satisfaction that I was longing for, and yet I couldn't get free from it. And so what ended up happening was my habits became worse and worse and worse. I stayed up later and later and later to make myself as tired as I could possibly be so that I could somehow forget the type of person that I felt like I had become. And during the day or during my free time, I would just go from one form of entertainment to another because I was always trying to keep my mind active. I was always trying to keep my mind busy on the next new, fresh thing because I could not give myself a moment of peace to actually relax and rest and enjoy life, because there was no peace there to enjoy. And to be honest, I was fighting it. I kept telling myself, this is the last time, right? And I went to a Christian university and we were required to go to chapel a couple times a week. And I would go in a chapel and I would sing worship songs to God. And I would cry because of the person I knew that I was. And because I knew and I longed for God's approval. And yet I knew I didn't have it. And so like I would try to go into chapel and get myself cleaned up for a time, and then I would go right back into the same sin habits that I had been in. And it was this endless cycle I couldn't get out of. And what I found was I was like this man that had fallen down into a muddy pit. So if a person falls down into a muddy pit with a steep slope, right? And the mud is washing down into the pit, and they're trying to climb up that wall, the more that they struggle. And the crazier that they're moving their arms on the way up, the more that they actually end up sliding back down into the pit and the further they go down. And that's what I felt like. I was this struggling person trying to climb out of this muddy pit I had dug for myself, and I could not get out of it no matter how hard I tried. And so the end of my freshman year, that weight of God's standard kept coming back to me, and it got so strong and so real, and I could see myself, when I looked in the mirror, I could see how dirty I had become, so much so that I couldn't take it any longer. And out of desperation, I fell down on my knees in my dorm room, and I just cried out to God, and I said, God, I'm sorry. And I said, please, forgive me. Please help me to stop looking at pornography. And what one thing that God did that day was pretty amazing is he gave me this determination and this willpower to stop the actual habit of looking at pornography. Because after that, I made that decision, and I just made myself quit, right? But what I did not realize, after I went through the summer, and in the summer I was back home at my parents' house, and things were kind of back to normal a little bit, and I was doing better. And then I got back to school the beginning of my sophomore year, and even though I was doing better than I had been doing the year before, and I wasn't slipping up as much, even though I still was slipping up, you know, at different times, even though I felt like I was doing better in my actions and outwardly, I was trying to do all these things, like I was trying not to watch the same movies I had watched or the same TV shows or allowing the same influences into my life. I was trying to treat people better. I was trying to be a better person. Even though I was doing all these things, I did not feel better at all. The joy had not come back. The peace had not come back. There was no satisfaction in life. And in fact, it was the opposite. I had gone from being in this place of desperation to being completely and utterly depressed. So depressed that even on the nights I wanted to get sleep, even when I was so dead tired that I knew I had to get sleep, I would lay down and I couldn't sleep. And I would stay up all night long feeling this overwhelming sense of hopelessness. Because what I began to realize was that standard that God had for my life, I was working as hard as possible, not only to try to make up for the things I had done, but also just to try to start doing good things, and I couldn't do either of those things. I could not work my way back up to that standard no matter how hard I tried. And God began to reveal to me and show me how I had never met the standard in the first place. Growing up, I thought I was this great person, and I began to see all the things that I had been doing over time and how I had never gotten there. I never reached it. And I was looking around and judging people and thinking I was this righteous person, and I never had gotten it. I had never been that. And it depressed me so much that I couldn't sleep. I didn't have any hope in life. And on top of that, I ignored God. You know, even though I had gotten down on my knees and I had repented of that one sin, I had gone into this place where I didn't want to have anything to do with God, because I felt like the closer I got to God, the more his anger would be shown to me, right? Like the more I would see how angry with me he was. And then God did something.
This is Troy Black. I pray the Lord is speaking to you through this podcast. We'll get back to the message in a second, but I want to take a minute to tell you about how you can support this ministry. I'm able to create videos, books, podcasts, and other materials because of faithful supporters who value my content and who want to help me share the gospel with as many people as possible. All I ask is that you would pray about becoming a part of the work we're doing. Learn more by going to troyblackvideos.com. I hope you're blessed as you continue listening.
See, I think a lot of times we feel like it's going to be this impossible task if I start to try to get near to God again, right? Or if I try to get to come close to Him, I'm never going to be able to get there. I'm never going to be good enough. But the good news is that it's not a one-way street. This relationship, you know, that God invites us to have with Him is not something that we have to make happen on our own. When we begin to draw near to God, He draws near to us. And so the day that my life started to change was this one weekend afternoon when I went with some of my friends out to this lake where under the lake, this old city had been buried with water. And so it's a pretty cool place to go. We went, we hung out for a while, and then we were about to go home. And I told this one of my friends, she had driven us all in her car, and I told her, hey, I want to drive. And she didn't want me to drive, and I kept saying, I want to drive, I want to drive, I want to drive. And so finally she let me drive. I started to drive the car. There were seven people in the car. Two people were in the trunk area with no seatbelts on. And eventually I got to this hill that was covered in rocks. I go up the hill, I take a hard left, and when I take a left, the car begins to fishtail back and forth. And so at first I'm laughing because I'm thinking, oh, this is fun, I'm scaring everybody, right? But we're gonna be fine. And yet, every time the car fishtails one direction and then I try to correct it and it fishtails back the other way, it gets worse and worse and worse until finally we go down into this this little ravine next to the road. We go up over a hill, through a fence, and then we just begin to tumble down a hill. And the car is flipping over and over and over and over again. The seats are all filled. There's two people in the back with no seatbelts on, and we're just spinning and spinning. And during that moment, I remember it was like I had this conversation with God. It wasn't a real conversation or anything, but I had in my mind, I had this picture of Him and me coming home. And yet God was saying, I'm not done with you yet. I'm not done with you. And eventually the car stopped and landed upright, and we all crawled out of that car with minimal scrapes and bruises, and everybody was fine. And after that day, the more that I looked back at that and looked at the damage that had been done to the car, it was completely destroyed. When I had first looked over at my friend sitting in the passenger seat, he was leaning completely out of the window. His head is leaning out of the window that's been shattered, and the roof is smashed in down to where his head should have been if he had been sitting upright. And yet everybody was fine. And I kept looking back and I could not believe how fortunate we had been. But the more I looked at it and the more I considered what happened, the more I knew God had done something that day and He had saved us. And especially He was trying to get my attention and show me that I was there for a purpose and for a reason. And I could not see what that was. And I kept saying, okay, God, if I'm here for a reason, You got to show me what that is. And I couldn't understand why a loving, perfect God would want to use me for anything, would want to keep me around for any reason at all, because I didn't deserve it. And so what I started doing after that was I started to seek God, and I actually started to read the Bible. And if you want to hear the full story of what happened next, go watch another video of mine. It's called, Do Christians Just Need to Have Faith? Go look it up, and it tells the whole story of what happened next. But to give you the short version, I started to seek God every night. I began to read in the Word one of the verses from Jeremiah 29:13. It says, you will seek me and you'll find me when you search for me with all your heart. And I started to this little belief started to build inside of me, and I began to say, if God's Word is really true, then when I seek Him, I am going to find Him. And so I began to seek Him to see if He was really there, to see if His Word was really true. And one night, the Holy Spirit spoke to my heart, and I had never heard this before, the voice of the Holy Spirit. And he told me a lot of things that night, but specifically there were two themes in what He said. And the two things that stuck out to me were that, one, that God loved me, and two, that Jesus died on a cross to pay for all of my sins. And what I immediately saw that night was a picture of the grace of God. It was something I had never seen before. And later when I looked back, I realized, you know, the Bible, there's so many times where Jesus is saying, repent and believe, right? He's saying, repent and believe. And then there's other times where He just tells people to repent. And then there's other times where He just says, believe. And so there's a lot of argument about this, I think, in some of the Christian culture about, well, how do we preach the gospel? Should we tell people to repent? Or should we tell people to believe? You know, or do we need to say repent and believe every time? You know, and I think people get a lot really upset about this, but here's why I think Jesus was able to do that. It's because He had the same heart that the Father had. He knew what people were thinking. Like, God could speak to Him directly through the Holy Spirit, and He was always in tune with the Father, always one with the Father. And so when He looked at a person, He knew what they needed to hear in that moment. He knew whether they had already had a repentant heart or not. And when I look back at the second year that I was in college, I can clearly see a picture of this. When I got down on my knees in my dorm room and I asked God to forgive me for my addiction to pornography and to help me to get free from that, that was me repenting. That was me having a repentant heart. And through that whole next semester and a half, I had that repentant heart. But what I was missing was I was missing belief. I didn't believe that what Jesus did for me on the cross really
counted toward me. I didn't believe that it was actually going to fix my problem. I didn't believe that he did enough for me. I still felt like, even though I had that repentant heart, I felt like I had to still work hard enough to get back into God's good graces, right? To get God to love me again. I could not see the amazing, powerful truth of the gospel for what it really was. But when the night that I saw it, the night that the Holy Spirit helped me to get from just repentance to repentance and belief, suddenly my eyes were opened, and all that joy and all that peace and all that purpose and fulfillment and satisfaction that I was looking for in so many different things, I found in Him all at once. And so the reason I made this video, the reason I'm telling you this story, is because if you're at a place right now where you feel trapped, you feel stuck, maybe you feel like you're in that muddy pit and you're trying your hardest to get out and you're struggling and you keep sliding back down, you need to know a repentant heart is good and it's necessary, but it's not enough. You also have to look at the cross of Jesus Christ and not just look at it one time. You have to look at it every single day. Every single time you mess up, you have to look at the cross and you have to say, what Jesus did for me on the cross is enough. It's going to be enough. When I stand before God, God is going to say, well done, good and faithful servant, not because of anything I've done, but because of what Jesus did for me. And the only thing God requires of me now to receive that gift is to believe. Jesus said, this is the work of God, that you believe in Him whom He has sent. And the one He sent was Jesus Himself, His perfect Son, who died for the sins of the world. And on the third day, He rose again. And now He is seated at the right hand of the Father. And guess what? He is making intercession for you. He is praying for you. Did you know that? So every single time that you mess up, you want to have freedom from addiction, maybe from pornography addiction, maybe from lust addiction, maybe from sexual addiction of some other kind or whatever it may be, maybe from greed or anything in life. If you're looking for freedom from that, the key is found, one, in understanding what God's standard is and understanding what the truth is. But you can't just stop there, because that's just going to bring shame. It's going to bring condemnation on you if you stop there. You can't stop there. You've got to get to the point where you're looking at what Jesus did for you on the cross and you're saying, that's enough. God says, my grace is enough. It's enough for you. So if you're watching this video right now and the Holy Spirit is doing something inside of you, you know that you need what I found that night. I encourage you to pray with me right now. I'm going to say a prayer, and I really want you to pray along. It's not a magical prayer. The prayer itself is not what does anything. What does something is this. One, that your heart is repentant. And what that means is, I like to look at repentance as where your focus is. You know, repentance really in the Bible means, doesn't mean doing all these works to try to prove yourself to God. Repentance, what it actually literally means is turning around. You're facing one direction and then you're turning around and going the other direction. And in my mind, the reason you can't separate repentance and belief is because when you look away from your sin and you look to Jesus, you're repenting. And when you look to Him and believe what He's done for you, you're forgiven. It's a single act, repenting and believing. So if you know you need that right now, I am encouraging you to pray with me. Allow God to do something in your heart right now. You can experience the same freedom, the same peace, the same joy. You can begin a relationship with God right now. And maybe you know you have a relationship with Him, but it's been a long time. Maybe you've been running from Him. Maybe you think He's been mad at you. My encouragement to you right now is to look back at the cross. Look at what Jesus took for you. Look at everything that happened to Him so that it would not have to happen to you. If you know you need this, don't put it off. Don't wait. Pray with me right now and expect God to do something in your heart. Say, God, I know I'm a sinner. I know I've messed up and I know I need Your help. I repent from everything I've done right now and I turn to You, Lord Jesus. I believe, Jesus, that You are the perfect Son of God, that You came to earth as a man, that You lived a perfect life, and then You died on a cross, taking the punishment for my sin on Yourself. And then You were buried, and on the third day, You rose again. And I ask right now that You'd forgive me and cleanse me of all my sin, that You'd take away all the shame, and that you would help me to break the habits in my life that shouldn't be there, God, that you would give me freedom from those through the help of the Holy Spirit. And God, I just say thank you for saving me. Thank you for setting me free. And God, I also just pray right now for anyone watching this video, Lord, that you would give them that joy, that peace, and that freedom through your Holy Spirit right now in the name of Jesus. And I command that any addictions, any behaviors that they've been trying to overcome in their own strength, that you would overcome for them, Jesus. You said you have overcome the world. You've overcome every single dark thing inside of us, and you've given us true life through you living inside of us, Lord Jesus, through your life within us. And I believe that you can do for us what we cannot do for ourselves. So I just ask that your grace would flood over every single person watching this right now, that your peace would flood over them right now in the name of Jesus. Amen.
You can connect with Troy Black on YouTube or Facebook. For more content from Troy Black, or to find out how you can support this ministry, visit troyblackvideos.com.